City Light Church Online. I'm Pastor Doug Shimoda. Today I'm finishing up on a series called What Would Jesus Do? The title of my message today is Becoming the Person You Were Created to Be. If you're ever going to live like Jesus and to do what Jesus asks of you, then you need to have this powerful, God-giving, life-directing ability called vision or insight or perspective to be the person you were created to be. You need to be renewed by your vision. Today we're going to focus on this great need, this huge need, to renew our personal vision, our vision for Christ and a vision for His church. I want you to sit back for just a moment and to think. Think back and remember when you first became a Christian. Now, most of you were fired up with vision to reach people for Jesus Christ, to see His church grow. You probably spent a lot of time in prayer, asking God to use you for His kingdom and to make you a strong witness to other people. And you started to see yourself differently, not just as another person on the planet, but as a champion for Christ, declaring the word of God, defeating the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And when you heard sermons about evangelism and outreach, you got fired up because you were concerned. You were concerned about your family, your friends, and your neighbors. You saw people differently. Clearly, you understood and you accepted the fact that God could use you in a mighty way. But somehow, over the years and months since your conversion to Christ, somehow that vision has faded to nothing more than a distant memory. Yeah, you might still talk about it. Yeah, you know it's something that should be highly important to you. But if the truth be known, it's the last thing on your mind these days. Think about this for a minute. In this last week, how much time did you spend thinking, pondering the fact that God has a vision for your life and for our church? Now, if you're like most people, you probably gave it little, if any, thought at all. See, God wants to change that today by letting you in on something. And here it is. You, yes, you are an integral part of God's plan for this world. And God wants to give you the ability to fulfill this plan in your life and in our church. See, God wants us to begin thinking on a much greater, grander, bigger scale than we've been thinking, and to bring us to this personal renewal that focuses on a vision for our future. See, there are three things that you have to realize about yourself. Number one, God says that I am commissioned. Listen, when you signed up to be a Christian, you were also accepting the challenge of God's mission for your life. Jesus spoke to His disciples and challenged them. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "Then Jesus came close to them and said, 'All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now, you go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age.'" You know, this commission from Christ to make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey, was given to Jesus' disciples well over 2,000 years ago. And guess what? It's still given to us today. God is telling us today that we, both individually and corporately, are accountable for fulfilling the mission that He has sent us on. And this is for men, this is for women, this is for young people, this is for old people, this is for teenagers, this is for children, this is for married, this is for single, this is for widowed, this is for divorced. In other words, it's given to everyone and no one is given a pass. And the sooner that we understand this and we take responsibility for it, the sooner we'll begin to experience this personal revival that God wants us to have, that will cause us to move out and to advance His purposes in this world. Can you say after me? I am empowered. I am empowered to fulfill His commission. God never asks us to do anything that He doesn't also give us the ability and the resources necessary to accomplish whatever He's asked us to do. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now this same power that was given to the early disciples, it's available for us today. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit who dwells every believer. And that power was specifically given to accomplish the vision that God has given. You know, you and I can never excuse myself from serving, by saying that I don't have the resources necessary. See, God promises you and I that He will empower us to fulfill that vision. Can you say with me, "I'm entrusted. I'm entrusted to do His commission." This is a story about a young man. He applied for a job as an usher at a theater. And the manager asked him, what would you do if a fire breaks out? And the young man answered, "Well, don't worry about me. I'd get out okay." See, that's how we respond sometimes. You know, what would you do if Jesus came back tomorrow? "Oh, don't worry about me. I'd be okay." Yeah, but you're an usher. It isn't enough just to get ourselves out. We're responsible for helping others get out. See, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, Paul said, "For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart." So God has entrusted His vision to us as individuals and also as a church. And there's no other plan in place. God is counting on you and He's counting on me to get the job done. Number one, I need to see myself as commissioned. Number two, I need to see myself as God sees me. You know, I believe that one of the biggest factors, one of the biggest contributors to a lack of vision in people's life is the misunderstanding of who they are, of who we are in God's eyes. You know, until I see myself as God sees me, I won't even be able to comprehend His vision for my life. In other words, I can't envision my role in God's kingdom until I envision myself as a fully equipped, loved by, cared for child of God. You know, God sees me as a person that can accomplish His will for my life. He doesn't look at me or He doesn't look at you as failures. He looks at us and He sees people that can reign victorious in this life. Did you ever go to a parent-teacher meeting and have the teacher tell you all about your child, saying, "Well, he could be a great student if he would just apply himself"? You know, ever wonder if God ever looks at us that way, like that? You know, He's looking at us right now and He's saying, "I know that he or she has the ability to accomplish great things for my kingdom if he or she would just apply my powerful promises." I mean, there would be no limits. That's what God would be thinking. You know, it's clear from the Great Commission that we just read earlier that God believes in us. But for some reason, we don't believe in ourselves. You know, God has instilled within us this supernatural power to accomplish His vision for the kingdom. And when I'm not seeing myself in that light, I'm denying the very promises that God has made to me. See, we all need to take some positive steps to correct this. And the first thing that we can do is continually remind ourselves that we can do what God has asked us to do. Not because we're so bright or intelligent or powerful or wonderful, but because God is everything that He claims to be. And if He says I can do it, then I can do it. Say with me, "I am one part of the whole." We need to realize that we are one part of the whole. Romans 12 verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. You know, when I first went into ministry, I didn't really understand this passage. I thought that if I personally worked hard enough, I preached well enough, worked hard enough, that God's vision would be fulfilled in my life and in the life of the church. In other words, I thought that everything literally depended upon me. But I've since learned that I'm just one piece of a gigantic puzzle, that everything doesn't rise or fall on me or my abilities, but rather it rises or falls depending on whether each of us are doing a part for the greater good. You know, there are literally millions of Christians throughout this world, from many different nations, of different colors of skin, speaking different languages, belong to many different denominations. You know, God has literally put together a mosaic of people who, working together, will fulfill the vision that He has for His church. My part and your part in this vision is realizing that we're a part of the whole. And when we combine our own personal application of God's vision with that of all the others in our church and the millions throughout the world, it will manifest in an unstoppable force called the Church of Jesus Christ. What I must do, and what you must do, is realize what piece of the puzzle God has called me to be, and to place myself in the picture of God's overall will for His church. The Apostle Paul said, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." In other words, he's saying this, that there's no room for an independent or an isolationist spirit. We need each other. We do it together. And we need to encourage each other in this vision. Encourage others in this vision. You know, one of my most important duties as a pastor that I have is to encourage this development of vision in other people's lives. And once that vision is caught, once it's literally embedded in your bones, then you need to take this vision and spread it to the others who are around you. Number three, I need to see my participation. You know, in my years of ministry, I've noticed that the people with the most complaints were usually the people who were the least involved in the work of the church. Do you know why that is? Here's why. Because those people who sit on the sidelines, those who don't roll up their sleeves to help fill the vision, they don't have the ability to focus. They don't have the ability to even see what God is doing in our midst. You see, this renewal process, this transformation, this change, this ability to see what God is doing and our involvement involves us first getting off the sidelines and getting into the game. There are no armchair quarterbacks allowed on God's field. And if I don't participate in God's plan, I can't expect to hear a word from God. Think about it. The coach doesn't share his plays with those people who aren't in the game. And in the same way, God doesn't speak to those, or they can't hear from God, because they aren't willing to help the church fulfill His vision. You know, if you're not feeling renewed in your spiritual walk today, maybe it's because you've been standing or sitting on the sidelines for far too long. See, the problems we sometimes have in our church is that we end up with just a few people doing all the work for the many who don't want to get involved. My challenge for those of you that are not participating in ministry and serving in the church is to start doing it today. You need to do your part, and God expects you to do it. You know, if every person in church would just find his or her place of area or area ministry or service in the church and just do it to the best of their ability with excellence, man, we would see a renewal, a revival literally take place that we can't even imagine. With each of us participating, three big things will happen. Number one, our church would grow spiritually. Part of the Great Commission that Jesus gave involves continued spiritual growth. See, we're called not only to reach people for Jesus Christ, but to disciple them and to teach them. See, when you're doing your part and I'm doing my part, The result is a group of fully dedicated disciples that are growing in their spiritual walk with the Lord. A powerful force that the enemy cannot even reckon with. See, this stuff happens when we join together as one with God's vision. And when we all participate, number two, our church will grow numerically. It's God's vision that the church grows numerically over and over. Again, in the book of Acts, it records this numerical growth of the church. You know, I find it kind of ironic when people say they prefer a small church, because you can't find a church like that in the Bible. The church that's in tune with God is growing, increasing in numbers. And with each of us participating, this can happen, this will happen. Number three, if we all participate, number three, our church will grow financially. It's impossible to experience spiritual renewal if you're not giving financially to God's work. As each person gives 10% or more of their income, as God has instructed in His Word, the church will be blessed, and each of us as individuals will also be blessed. See, this is God's plan. It's a part of His vision for the church. And if we really have a vision for Jesus and His church, then we will really give. And if you don't have that vision, you probably will not give. Here's the conclusion. God has called us, all of us, to fulfill the dream He has placed in our hearts. And that is to win people to Jesus Christ and to disciple them to maturity. And if you don't dream that dream on a regular basis, then you're in need of a personal renewal. And listen, God will give it to you if you simply follow the steps that we give you today. Number one, say yes to the call and commission of Christ. Number two, see yourself as God sees you, as a child of God, loved by Him, cared for by God, fully equipped to do what God has called you to do. Number three, be a participator. Do your part. Get into the game. Find some area of service in the church. Be a minister of Christ. And by doing that, you will become the person you were created to be. Amen? Amen. If you're here today and you're watching, this is your day to place your faith in Jesus. This is your day to invite Him into your life. This is your day to surrender your will to Him, to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. And this is your day to pray this prayer. If you've never prayed this prayer, you've never invited Christ into your heart, I want you to say this prayer. You say this prayer, simple prayer, but it'll be the most powerful prayer that you will ever pray in your life. And your entire life, your future, your destiny will be changed forever. Repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that You gave Your life, that You shed Your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. I ask You to forgive me of every sin I have ever committed. And today and now, I ask You to come into my heart and to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer, I want to say to you, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to God's family called the church. If you said that prayer, press that little hand at the bottom of the screen and then call the number on the screen, and then we'll connect you to someone who will tell you what your next faith step with God is. I want to thank you for joining us online today. Today we also started meeting in person, live in church. So come and join us next week in church, and we'll have all the protocols in place for a safe meeting. And if you're not ready to do that, then just keep on joining us online every week. Again, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you. Have a great week.